enjoy the conversation I have with Logan as he views poker and the world as one and the same, and he's able to use statistics to help him win at business. We talk about this along with a host of other conversations as well. And halfway through, one of the cameras does give out, so you will only see part of me about halfway through the episode. And this is still a learning process for me, so I appreciate you guys watching my videos and subscribing to the channel as I do release 2 videos on a weekly basis. Hope to see you guys in the next one. Otherwise, have a good rest of your day, and I hope you enjoy this episode. All right, so I got Logan here today. Met him at the 10X Growth Con, a couple months ago, dude, I feel
like. Yeah, I would say probably late October. A couple months ago.
Yeah, and I was just fascinated with your whole concept, I guess. Not even I guess, but your whole concept, because 18-year-old was going to go play football, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And then you were able to speak on front of a stage in front of, what, there's probably 250 people there, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say probably about.
I was an 18-year-old being able to do something like that. That blew me away. So I was I want to talk with you and actually have this experience. And we were shooting the shit before we started around this too, around business and other types of concepts.
For a while, yeah. I was this should be part of the podcast.
Dude, I was the same thing.
Where are the cameras at?
Right. Bro, that's the whole hard part with doing this thing is it takes time. You know, where it's just we could just start the conversation off, but it's we want to have the setup. It doesn't have to have that setup.
Yeah.
But that's why I like the GoPro of how you and I were talking beforehand too, having those little clip things.
Yeah.
To
where it's easier. Comfortable. This is a robust setup, and I feel for the average person it would be hard to see all this and still remain your true self, mm-hmm. and still have a productive conversation. I think you're right. The personal setup is almost easier, but it doesn't yield a high the production quality. I think this is gonna turn out really sick. But it's hard to find people that would film in this and still remain 100% themselves and still have productive conversations while looking at all this.
Exactly.
So, So I think that would be a good place to start is the whole college piece. That is true. I was looking at a 90% scholarship to go play football in Montana. And I committed in February. No. Yeah. Late February. And then late March, I decommitted. There's a couple things, not a lot of times in my life, but this was one of the times where you almost through energy, you can feel a lot, right? You can know, I get these type of emotions from when I think about this, and I get these emotions when I think about this. And I just knew, there's not a lot of things where I get this, but this was one of those profound moments where I just fucking knew. I knew that the college path wasn't for me, even though most logical people would be yo, that's a full ride scholarship to go play football. I had reached my goal. My goal was to get an offer. And once I got there, the drive wasn't there anymore. And so I decided I need to go do something phenomenal because of what I turned down. And so I live in Arizona. My family lives in Arizona. The day after I turned 18, which was July 29th. And then I moved out to Colorado. And I trying to start my own company, Colorado Growth. Living with my uncle away from the fam. That's basically how I'm here now. And then the 10X stages, I got to talk. I think it was 10 people, maybe eight.
Right around that.
Split into separate groups, and it was a 1 minute, 30-second pitch. And we were talking, and at this time, I wasn't really clear on what it was that I was offering, and that's what they were, very adamant about, is, you need to be clear on what you're offering and tell your story. Everyone went around, you could tell in this circle of 8 people, so many people were nervous, right? And when you're nervous, your words and you're not comfortable in who you are. So you're stuttering, you're not speaking loudly, you're not taking control of your area and the space that's surrounding you. So within these 8 people, again, I didn't even know what I was going to pitch. I changed it as they were talking. I was initially going to talk about the web design and the Colorado growth, but then I just flipped and I was like, what did the company, they sent out these automated texts, personal texts, and the funnel that they got to get you guys here. I do that on a better scale. I use AI to personalize these things. I know how to do it. And all I did was I spoke eloquently, authoritatively, I guess it would be a good word for it. And then, they were like, and then my name was on the top 10 and I went and spoke in front of 250 people. Now, I don't think that turned out well. I think I was a little nervous. My speech only lasted 45 minutes in the 2-minute allotted time. But I think it was productive, and I was like, this is fucking dope. This was awesome. I didn't come into it with any expectations, but getting to speak, even though nothing came of it, I was like, this is awesome. So, yeah, and then I think I was walking to Chipotle with another guy, and you were like, yo, let's go get Chipotle, and then that's how we met, and then after we came back, that's when I was speaking at the thing.
Yeah, dude, it was kind of crazy how you and I ran into each other because I had no idea what I was going to do for food. I was just going to go get McDonald's that day. And then I hear you talking with, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I think his name's Luke.
Luke, yeah.
I know his last name is Krause.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. He's a fitness trainer online.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah. Continue with the story.
And you were talking with him about how like you wanted to get back in shape. And I was like, all right, these guys like are also into fitness. So I was like, let's just have a conversation. Yeah. And then we went and like got dinner, got lunch, and like just started shooting the shit as well too. And I was just like, why not do this every day type of thing? And that I just found that fascinating because it's like so many people are afraid to talk with other people nowadays. And like you were able to get up on front of the stage. I was able to break the ice. We were able to go get dinner or lunch. And it's just like we were able to have a conversation because we're all thinking the same thing. So it's like why not share that with other people that also want to communicate? Because like how many people do you know that would just like start up a random conversation with somebody else that, like, I mean, you and I feel like are different, but like other people that you know, like, I just don't think.
And even
do that.
With that, I think it's almost a skill that you can teach, because you asked like how many people do I know, and I would say like natively I don't even think that's who I am natively, right? Like I think in nature, like, and in my past, like I don't think I was like very adept to talking and like being like super social. Like I was social, but like not in the terms of like you see a stranger and you're like, hey, I want to go talk to this person. I think it almost comes as like something that you can mindfully look towards. So like the other day I went to the Apple store, and you can mindfully put yourself and you're like, hey, I'm going to engage this person in a conversation. I'm going to ask this person. I'm going to be a detailed listener. I'm going to listen with the intent to listen, not with the intent to respond, but the intent to be a good listener. And from that, you get received as a well speaker. And now this guy was like taking me on not a spiritual journey, but he showed me this app to do, like to get like to do yoga and be like mindfulness. I don't think it's a skill. I think it's I don't think it was like naturally. So you asked that, like, how many people do I know? And so now it's myself. But I think that's like a note and an asterisk to put on there is I think it's a skill, like an attainable skill. And through trial and error and like doing a podcast, you become better at it.
Yep.
And you get to be like, you get to be a sociable person and like a person that can go up to anyone and start talking when previously you weren't. And so I think that's the part that I have to always be aware of is like, it's not who you are. Like you can change that. Like this is an attainable skill. If you mindfully go into conversations, like how do I engage this person? How do we both benefit from this? I go in with the intent to listen, not the intent to respond, which is a huge thing that I have to remind myself. Then the things that are yielded from it are two new people that you meet at a 10x growth con when you got there late and didn't know what you were doing. And now you go off Chipotle and then it ends up turning into a podcast. And now you have two people that you know that came into it with the intent of talking and also meeting two people with the same intent. Boom.
Yep.
So
dude, and like I do a lot of yoga too. And we do it in yoga. It's like, what's your intention? It's like, what is your intention from this? And like, for me, it's always just been like, I just want to breathe. Like, that's always my intention. I'm like, I don't care what else happens. Like, I'll just breathe and whatever comes of it afterwards is like.
So have you looked at like the Wim Hof and things? Cause I don't do them, but actually really profound experience for me. I went to a tattoo shop with my uncle as he was getting his tattoo. Cause he told me like, this is one of the most interesting people you ever meet. Through yoga and through breath work, like this guy is like not transcended realities, but like has come up with the most like one of the most intelligent people I've ever seen. And he like hints it back to yogic things and spiritual experience that he rivaled to like mushrooms, right? Like psychedelic experiences that he achieved through yoga. And so through those two things, it's like, why am I not doing yoga? Why am I not doing Wim Hof? Like I've heard about them, but I don't do them. So have you like done Wim Hof and yoga? I think you were
getting at it. Yeah. So I mean, I do yoga once a week right now. I used to do it three times a week back when I was living out in Grand Junction.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. I did more of a vinyasa flow. So it's like one breath per movement. So like, it's kind of like, you could think of like how the ocean, like the wave crashes down and then comes back. It's the same thing like with the breath. It's like I move as I breathe in, I go from one place. As I breathe out, I go to another place. So it's just a different way of looking at it. And the whole Wim Hof method as well too. So I went down to Sturgis one year with my dad, who you met earlier, and him and I, we were down there and we were coming back, and in the morning, like on the bike, like before we move, I'm like, all right, it's warm. I don't need to put any layers on. But as we start riding, like the wind and the cold, and like we go through these valleys and dude, it's freezing. I'm like, dude, and I'm at the back of the pack. So I'm like, I can't be the dude that stops because nobody will like know that I stopped type of thing. So I'm like, all right, what do I know to help me keep warm? And I was like, Wim Hof. So I started doing like his breathing method while I was on the bike, and I would, like, probably not to the same extent that he does it, but like it was enough to like warm me up until we got to that next spot, because I was just doing like the deep inhales, the slow exhales, and like, let's just use my breath to warm my body up. And I was able to make it throughout like freezing the whole like bike ride back down to like the first gas station that we got to. So I think they're very useful skills that somebody can have, and anybody can do it, because it's just it's like you're saying, it's a skill around communicating, around being able to get into like this specific mindset. That's why a lot of the things that I do is like, it's, I wasn't this person originally, but I took the skills, that I took the initiative to be able to go out and do said thing. So like I ended up going out to the bars or making a fool of myself or just having conversations with people, because nobody was ever thinking about me afterwards. It was like, I'd replay the scenario in my head and be like, okay, how can I do this better? What can I do differently next time, so that I don't have this uncomfortable feeling? So that's why when you were talking about like leaving Arizona to come down to Colorado and live with your grandpa or uncle, I was just like, that is, it takes a massive amount of courage for somebody to do something like that. And that's why I was like, how many kids in their 18s, because like for me, it was just courageous enough for me to go off to school, but like to leave and not go to school and go start my own business, I feel like that takes more courage than doing anything else ever could.
Yeah. I mean, I can't attest, right? I can't attest to the courage that it takes to go to play college and go to college. But I would say, just from a like personal point of view and the feedback, the exterior feedback that I've received, right? Like, the remarks that I've gotten have been like, that's profound. Like, that was a more riskier shot than the college route. Right. And so I think that gives me that positive reinforcement to stay on that track. And like, again, I'm going back to school because I know like now school is almost a shortcut. Like you start off like as an intermediate and you're like, oh, college isn't for me. And then you get to it and you're like, wow, like college, in essence, I don't believe in it. Like, for the long term, I still think like telling 18-year-olds like, hey, come here, let's extend your adolescence and we're going to charge you $80,000 for it, that is completely messed up. I don't believe in the system long term, but I do see that in this professional world, like, it almost is a shortcut, right? Like, I'm not saying it can't be done with a college degree, but to get to the levels where I want to and like make a robust, profound business, a college is a shortcut. And I know that's like crazy to say, because that wasn't my initial thing. So yeah, I mean, it took, right? Like, I think, and that was just my mindset going into it, was if I'm going to turn down this remarkable opportunity that most people would not turn down, like, dude, you like did it. Like, you reached your goal in football. I was like, I have to go do something equally as remarkable. And that's not to prove anything to anyone else. That's internal. Like, I turned down this, so now I have to go do this. And it was what I was saying earlier as we were setting this up, expected value and opportunity cost. My expected value entering college, I know it's a stable route, right? You know what you're going to get. After I'm done with it, I play football, suffer a couple injuries, maybe lose a little IQ score from hitting, and I know what I end up with. I end up with a master's degree after 4 years and whatever I want to, and it cost me like $5,000 a year, so like nothing terrible and a nice master's degree. This other way, though, I have no idea what that entails, right? That entails coming on a podcast, going to a 10X, getting a nice, like, an actual, like a job, and going back and getting that master's degree. I would have never known what this side entailed if I wasn't okay with turning down this opportunity value. And my opportunity value here, I don't know what it is. It can be 100 times what this college is. So, again, as I go through life, I knew that the opportunity cost here was incredibly more than going to college. And so that's what I did. And I was like, not go to college. I'm not going to sit at home and work at Fry's and go to community college part-time, because again, that's you know what you're going to get. You know exactly what you're going to get. With opportunity cost, I didn't know what I would get coming out here. So I was like, boom, that's where I'm going.
Dude, it's impressive, because I've always been curious, and maybe you've never thought about this, because like, have you ever wondered where that came from, like within yourself?
Yeah, so not wondered where it came from, but in sense of, first things first, I think this is an awesome story to tell, and I almost have to say it. In my first grade yearbook, people write down what you want to be and then a picture of what you want to of what it is. And so everyone had a page in the yearbook, right? Our first grade yearbook. And mine was, I want to be rich, with a picture like a stick figure like this, with all this like green boxes drawing down on them. So I think the innate nature to want to get rich and do that type of thing was always in me. The part where it's like to be very analytical about life and to do the unbeaten path if it means that I can yield a better result, I think that literally came through me playing poker and taking a deep interest in poker. So, like, playing poker, it's incredibly enjoyable. And through that, like, I wrote my admissions, college admissions essay on how poker is correlated to real life. And if you play real life like poker, you will end up in a way better spot than if you didn't. Like, if you live your life as if you were playing poker, you're going to be okay. Like, you're going to do best things. So, no. So, I don't think it – the rich part was always in there, and I think that was awesome. Like, I love to recall that story and say it because as a person in first grade, no exterior motives are there, right? That's not a front. I'm not saying that because it sounds cool. I wrote down I want to get rich because my brain wasn't capable of anything else. My brain can't lie. It can't take on anything else and be like, I want to do this. I want to be cool. That was my actual brain. Like, hey, I want to be rich and – all this money. That was dope. I love recalling that story. But the analytical part and the being able to turn down great things in comparison for things of the unknown came from playing poker, which I know sounds crazy, but like it like really has been like a profound experience and methodology to living my life. I think that's where I picked up on it.
Yeah, and I don't think that's crazy by any means at all. I got two things, because first off, like, I had the exact same thing with my baby book as well too. Yeah. I was like, I want to be extremely wealthy when I grow up.
Yeah.
No idea where that came from. It was before all the conditioning of what other people were telling me what to do.
You can't tell a first grader what it is. Like, that is who they are.
Exactly.
A first grader is impressionable, but what they expend and what they expel is truly themselves. You can't give a first grader social media and have them put on a front, right? Because then 50% of entrepreneurs in today's world, like, it's just a front. Like, oh, I want to work 10 hours a week and go travel the world. That sounds awesome. I'm an entrepreneur. I want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The first grade and the young adolescence things, that wasn't impressionable. That was just a deep-rooted, innate nature to be like, this is what I want to do. I want to be rich. So, yeah, I like that. That's like, that's not conditioning, which is what you were saying.
Yeah, because it's just like, this is something that's a little bit different and out there, but it's like, does that come from a past life? Does that come from past experiences where, like, maybe we weren't, like, it can go down that spiritual route, yeah, as you were talking about a little bit earlier.
Which, if we want to get down that road, I'm so down to do, because I think that's, like, that's the next level things, right? Like, this world that we not exist on, because now it's like we're getting out there, but this we all live at the surface level, and 90% of people live on the surface level, and they think that this is all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if this is all that there is, right? We die and we're done. It's over. The lights turn out black. And even though we can't envision nothingness, it really is just nothingness to us. I think about it in terms of expected value. Again, correlating it back to poker. If let's say I believe that there's nothing after this, I'm not spiritual at all, I stand to gain nothing if I'm right. If mm-hmm. I'm right, all the lights turn out, we're done, over. The expected value of believing in something else and it being right is so incredibly profound that there's no other option to me. Like, it makes zero logical sense to say I don't believe in anything. And this isn't even God. I don't consider myself to, like, believe in religion.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in, like, other profound, like, spirituality, and I'm novice on this journey, but I know, like, down the line, I'm going to go on, like, a travel experience and go take shrooms and, like, really figure out what this world is about. But it comes back to expected value. You stand to gain nothing from thinking that this is it. Like, what do you gain from that? You're right, and you end up at the same place. If I believe that there is something and I'm right, you end up at the same place, and you're a novice in this spiritual journey. I already know what I'm doing. This is like, oh my God, I was right. Like, spiritual, like... That I think there's nowhere farther for me to go with it is, like, you believe in nothing, and what do you gain from that? Like, even the way you live your life, if you think that this all ends, what's the point of living today to day?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might say, like, for your family, which, like, maybe makes a little sense, but if their days all end in the same way, which is eternal nothingness, what is the point for you even providing for them? Like, that's where I get going, and it's like, that literally makes no sense. Why would you believe in that? Even if you have a 99.9% chance of being right, which you probably are right, like, it ends in nothingness, you stand to gain nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking that there's more profound experiences to be had, I think you stand to gain a lot. Like, you can reap the benefits incredibly by being right and living your life as if there is more spiritual journey. So I can't even say that I remember where we were before we started talking about the second worlds, but that's my view on it. It's like, I believe in, again, I'm a novice, but I believe that there's more because I feel like I stand to gain more. I live my life in a more profound and positive way if there is more.
I'd have to agree with you on that. And when you say novice, do you mean novice? Like, yeah. Okay. I didn't know if there was two different things. Oh,
novice is, maybe I was saying the word wrong the entire time. Maybe it is novice.
Hey, that's like, maybe it is novice. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Like,
I have no idea.
I'm not sure either.
I saw that in my mind, like, I don't say photographic, but like, oh, words that I say and words that I'm unfamiliar with, it pops up in my head. So like I see N-O-V-I-C-E,
mm-hmm.
and I just say it as it comes
novice.
Up in my head.
I like
so.
That more than novice. It sounds yeah. it's just a lot cooler than novice. Novice.
I don't know.
I like it, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's a whole like profound like experience of like, because what is after this? And like, I mean, we can. I've had a couple of talks on the podcast as well too, like around people that I've talked with, like the God and the Quran and this whole aspect of things. Is that there clearly is things that are completely outside of our control. Like if we tie back to like the 10X event. This is where things like I had never seen somebody pull back the curtains and like make that free, because typically those things are $26,000 or something like that for people to come in and be part of that experience. And then we got it for free. And then we got like ice cream on the first night. And he's like, I don't know why our team's doing ice cream, but it's like, okay, like, our team's doing ice cream. So it's like there's all these different things that we don't know if we'll actually ever truly experience. But it's like the life force within us, if we do go down the spiritual route, it's like it's always bringing us to the place that we need to get to. Like the destination's almost already determined. It's just a matter of how we're going to get there.
And I would say, like, at a fundamental level, and again, as a novice, I don't think my ideas are well enough exclaimed to, like, say with 100% confidence what it is, like, what anything is in terms of spirituality. But I think it's, like, we're all energy, right? Like, in the world, like, I choose to believe that in some way or another, we all have some form of creation. And so whether it's, like, a predetermined route of how we're going to get there, or it's you'd make decisions and it all ends up maybe it's a train, like you click this one and you go two different ways, like maybe you'll end up in a slightly different destination, but we're all going to where we go. But you're only you're a sailor and something's guiding you, but you still have correlation and direction in where you're going, which is again the way that I choose to believe about it, because what, like, you gain so much. If you think that someone's always in your corner, whether it's God, Buddha, whatever, I really like the Buddha, like from the very, like, again, surface level research that I've been doing, I really like the Buddha methodology. And so that's why I chose to bring it up. But if you think that there's someone, something there, or an entity there, or even the energy there that's guiding you and has your back, think about the risk that you're willing to take. If you think that I'm going to be okay no matter what, and I'm going to the same exact place, I can stand to lose every single thing. And I'm going to beat you 100 times out of 100 because you're too crowded up. You're like, oh, this is it. We're all going to die. And you won't take those risks. If you think that there's someone, something, an entity, energy that's guiding you and can protect you and like all, like you're going to go this place, I can throw it all. Like, let's do it all. I'm all in that. And so coming back to stand again, you have so much to pick up on when you're spiritual and like when you think that this isn't it. That it literally, like, I think that's why I come back to it so much, is because it blows my mind that you can still remain in this space of not believing in anything. So
right. And does that kind of also tie back into your poker aspect of it as well too, like going all in? Because
yes,
you were like, talking about that.
All literally all in. That, and that's why and like I come back to bad beats, right? So in poker, let's say I know all the odds, right? Not all the odds, but I'm pretty good. Like I've played so much. That let's say I have a read on you and I think that you have, let's say, 10-7 offsuit and I have suited 7-8 and the board comes two spades correlating to my suit. So I have four of my five card flush and you maybe have a pair. So currently you're the favorite, right? If my hand ended right now, you win. But I know that I have a 40% chance to hit my flush, right? So the next two cards, not knowing what your card's suit are, I have a 40% chance of making that five card flush. My five card flush beats any card that you have possible unless you go runner tens, which means you have a pair of tens and the next two card are tens, which I don't even play because that's so unlikely that if I lose that, it's a bad beat. So I have a 40% chance to hit my flush, which means I win the hand, but you currently are a favorite. So I play my game based on, let's say there's $100 in the pot. I'm going to play my game based on that. If I can stay at 40% equity, I'll beat you. So let's say $100 in the pot, we both put in 50 and our stacks are $250 a piece, right? I, in most spots, will say I'm all in. Even though I have a 40% chance of winning, you call me for $250 thinking, which this is going to take so long to get back to, but you think I have a pair, right? You're like, you have the winning hand, but there's also a percentage chance. It's called fold equity. You can fold that hand and lose everything and lose your chance at this stake because you think I have a winning hand because I just went all in. Think about how that feeling goes. I said, this is me. I'm all in. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
There's a percent chance that you fold. So I pick up equity there. I have a 40% chance that I win it all. Equity there. So with fold equity and percentage chance, I'm at 46%. Let's say you call. You make the call. You're like, I don't believe this guy. I'm all in. We have $600 in the pot, and I have a 40% chance of winning, and I'm only $300 in, right? Because my initial 50 stake and my $250 all in, I have $300 to win. I have $300 in to win $600, and my chances are 40%. Basically, I think I missed something along the way, and it's so hard because, like, this is months and months of learning and, like, to learn fold equity and things like that. But over the long run, if I played you heads up like that, and to the average everyday person that is holding onto their chips like this, like, oh, I'm going to save it all. I'm so scared. I'm going to beat you 100 times out of 100. If you might beat me, right? You might hit that 60% chance. But if we played 100 hands of not poker, but life, and I went into it with this ideal that I play poker and this is how I'm going to live my life, beat you 100 times out of 100 to the average person, right? That's afraid to take risks, that doesn't have any higher purpose, isn't coming towards a why. Their meaning is just on this plane. Beating you 100 times out of 100. And then if I lose, which is going to happen, right? You're going to take so many losses, like, where you thought it was this. Like, I thought Colorado Growth was going to be so easy. I thought it was like, oh, if I can just get 10 minutes with a business owner, I'm going to sell them, and this is going to be robust. I'm going to go travel to Thailand while I do digital nomad work and make 10K a month. Not going to happen. I took the loss there, but I consider that a bad beat. I did what I did with the information that I had at the time, the best decision that I thought was available, and I live with the result. And if I do that over the course of my life, I would say that that's a pretty fair way to live.
Yeah, you're increasing your odds for success by doing that.
Yeah, and again, like, there's not much more you can take. Like, if you take the information that you're provided, the context that you have, and you make the best decision possible at that time, there's not much more you can have. So you put it all in, you make your decision, and you live with the result. And if the result isn't what you want, you chalk it up to bad beat and you do it again. Because if you do these same things again and you say, this is the evidence I have, this is what I think, this is what I think the best decision is, instead of sitting in paralysis and not knowing what to do, you go and you stand and you live with the result. And that's what, and I think that's what it comes back to. It's not even the odds, because that doesn't really pertain back to real life. Like, it does maybe from a business aspect, but the thing of, like, dude, I'm here, I'm all in, and I'm going to let it ride, and whatever the result is, I live with, that is, like, that's so profound way to live. So
yeah, the result, well, it's like, we can't control the results, but we can increase our odds to having said result
process,
that we want.
Like, you will gain so much from detaching yourself from the results. When you attach yourself to the results, outside forces can shake you. When you attach yourself to results, if you're playing a football and you drop a route, you get hung up on the result and you can't progress past that. If you focus on the process and you know that every single time I'm going to put my hands here, I'm going to know what my play is, you know that you're going to win more times than you lose. Like, focusing on the result is such a bad way to move forward, because you get hung up on what the result is. If you focus on the process, again, it comes back to that odds and that expected value. If I do this 100 times out of 100, I'm going to do it better if I focused on the process, which is
it makes sense, because I was also wondering too, like, what got you interested in starting to learn about poker as well too?
So my dad, one of my dad's best friend, actually has 2 World Series bracelets. And he, like, not that, like, so, like, let me take it even farther back. Before I knew that he had 2 World Series bracelets, I feel like I've always had a knack for something where I could change the odds, right? Where me and you, we put money in this. Like, we're going to keep score. That, like, the money's going to tell us the score. And something where I can learn and become better at it and have a better chance than you, that, oh my God, young me, that spoke volume. So it was actually in Beloit, Kansas, at a family event. My dad and my uncle, not the uncle that I live with right now on another side, taught me how to play poker, and then we just did it. And then I took it farther once I started talking to the guy that has 2 World Series bracelets. That's where I, like, pick up on the odds and stuff. And I'm not anywhere close to where I want to be in poker, but like I can hold my own at many events if I was to go to a poker event. But yeah, so that's where it started. And I think that's what it was, is like you tell me in second grade that we're going to keep score of this. We're going to know who's going to win. It's either me or you, and real money resides from it, and that I can directly correlate and I can manipulate you throughout this game. Yes, please. Where do I sign up? You know what I'm saying? Right. So yeah, that's where I got it. But then those extra ideas and the odds and the expected value, opportunity costs, a little bit from the person, like the poker theory from the person that has two bracelets, and then also just from general investing advice. So like opportunity costs, I've just always had a knack for like listening to YouTube videos. So like even in fifth grade, like I'm listening to this channel called Alpha Investments, which speaks about, do you know what Magic the Gathering is?
Yeah, the game.
Yeah. So incredibly involved in Magic the Gathering. This guy, Alpha Investments, had a YouTube channel. I watched every single video for 3 years, and this guy like used to be a stockbroker. And so he talked about Magic the Gathering in this way for like adults, and I literally just loved it. And so I picked up on all those things. So if I want to talk about opportunity costs, I think that's probably main reason where I get it. And I just pick up on it. So like the poker, I got at a family event. And with everything, almost everything in life, I see something, someone puts me onto something, right? Like I pick up on something and then I take it farther. Like that's where I think I get it, is I learn something. I'm like, that's cool. You did this. I'm going to go take it farther. So like, yeah, I mean.
Well, I feel like that's the best thing to do. Like you take it, one, take it further. Two, it's just like being able to correlate two different ideas to form a new idea.
Yeah.
Or it's just like bringing poker to real life, or just like bringing, like I could be like bringing yoga meditation into like business or some other aspect, or time management. It's like there's all these different correlations that we can make. And it's like some things are going to resonate a lot better with like somebody that understands poker.
Yeah.
And business is like, okay, yeah, I can run the odds this way to be able to create a better outcome for myself so that I can succeed in the ways that I want to. Whereas it's just like other people, they don't have those. Their brain might not work that way, so they need somebody where it's like, okay, I understand, like, taking one breath per movement, or it's like, okay, I'm going to ask questions
and
of these people.
And on a slow basis, right? Because, like, it's hard. It's so hard to, like, get these ideas that were formed after, like, and again, I'm only 18, but these ideas have been formed through, like, a couple years of, like, what I've, like, done and lived. So it's hard to be like, hey, play your life like you're playing poker. But after, like, again, like, you can teach someone this, and it's another skill, like, talking to people, like, maybe it's not the right way to live, but it's how I'm going to live my life. And if you want to learn it, go learn poker and see how you can correlate it to real life, and let's live with the result. So,
right.
Yeah. It's not for everyone. Nah. But I think correlating different things, like you do business, I do business, and you just do business on a surface level. But now I play it with poker. Cool. Like, let's see where this goes. Like this, like, yes, like, let's go.
It's a whole different outlook, because like even with the whole business aspect and like creating content in the ways that like you and I do and wanting to grow, it does bring into light, like, everybody does it in their own unique way. So like you, like, I don't consider you like 18. People would be like, oh, you're 18. It's like, you don't know shit. But then it's like, but then like you've had all this other life experience that has brought you up to this said point. So it's like everybody's on their own path and is going at their own pace. But too often, like, I know I would compare myself to like maybe yourself. It's like, damn, I wish I could have been here when I was 18, but it's just like, I couldn't. But
and age isn't directly correlated to wisdom,
exactly.
Which is like I'm, if let's say we ventured a, I don't know, a state that I've never been in, rural town. And we go to like a 50-year-old, if they haven't had life experience, and it's not even that I've had crazy robust life experience, like I've lived like incredibly normal life, I've just had these big moments where I knew, like Rocky starting business, those are big things, but not for me, right? Like I don't think it's that profound. But if you talk to someone that only lived their life at a surface level and never thought deeper on things, never formed new ideas, they're still a teenager in terms of wisdom and correlation. So I think that's where it comes from, is like a lot of people think that age is directly correlated to wisdom, because somehow through life experience, which you do, you pick up on more things, you start to form new ideas. But if you're not intentional with it, you won't pick up on those things.
Yep.
So if you're a general manager at a Walmart store and you never went farther, not farther in a career sense, but in a spiritual sense, in an idea sense, you're not 50 years old wisdomly. You're maybe 25 because you've never formed these new ideas. You've never taken the time to say, these are the things that I believe in. Let me split this up internally. Jordan Peterson talks about this. I'm going to take my ideas and I'm going to debate them internally. You've never taken the time to go and progress your ideas. You've never taken the time to improve on your ideas, your thought process, yourself. So you may be 50 age-wise, but mentally you're 25.
Mm-hmm.
Like, And so that's what you're hinting at. It's like, that's the way I try and live. Like, you pick up, like, form new ideas constantly, pick up on new things. Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's people that, like, so I self-reflect every single night. Yeah. Like, what went well, what didn't go well, and yeah. I do it every single time when my birthday comes around, too. Like, I'll reflect over the year. And I'm like all right, what can I change for next year? So, like, with the New Year's coming up, and this episode isn't going to be released until January, but it's just, like, with the New Year coming up, there's so many people that are like, oh, I'm going to start this New Year's resolution. I'm going to start the business. I'm going to go eat healthier. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to do X, Y, Z thing. Put whatever you want in there. But it's just, like, why do it at the beginning of the year? Like, you weren't born on the beginning of the year. That's not when your life started, in a sense.
And if an external factor made you do something, how bad do you really want it? Mm-hmm. How bad are you going to stick with it? If it's something externally, which is New Year's, that made you do this, I don't believe that you're going to go do it. I don't believe that you're going to stick to it. Show me. Now, if internally, at whatever time, let's say it is New Year's, you internally were like, this is too bad, I'm going to change. Then it's like, I believe in this person. Mm-hmm. Like, this person, yes, like, good job. Like, that's where it comes from. The New Year's resolutions, like, if an external factor is what motivated you to change, then you didn't really change. You're changing from an external factor, and that's not positive. Like, if you can stick through it, awesome. That is positive, but it's going to be way harder to stick through it if you did. And I correlate this to the gym because that's like the most profound New Year's resolution. If something else made you do it, you're not going to stick with it. You're just not.
Yeah, and that can tie back to what we were talking about with, like, Buddha and God as well earlier too, because, like, Buddha was, his whole concept was, like, it's all on the inside.
Yes.
So it's like, you got to change the inside first, and then the outside will just start to reflect itself outwards. Like.
And that's why I say I loved the Buddha methodology, and that's where I picked up, like, that's where I was starting to say, like, we're all energy. Like, I just think that, like, how does someone not hear that and be like, I'd rather choose to believe in this? Instead of thinking that we're all powerless, we're all going to the same place, why not take some of that power back and being like, we're all creators in this. Like, we all flow off each other, and this reality is just a projection of all of us interacting. Boom. Why wouldn't you want to have a place? Why would you just be like, well, we got here by accident and we're all going to nothingness? Like, you lose all your power in that. And it within any methodology where there is something more, whether that's Christianity, conventional religion, whatever, you stand to gain. So
yeah, we were talking about this on the last episode or two episodes ago, I'm pretty sure, with one of my buddies, where we got down to, like, the whole simulation route of, like, is everything that we see, is it actually real, or is it just our imagination type thing? Yeah, because, like, when we think about it, like, when we go to bed at night or we close our eyes, where's everything go?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can see it in our mind's eye still, but, like, we can also create any scenario that we want into our head. So why not create a positive one compared to a negative one? And that's the whole mental shift that I've made. And it's changed my life profoundly. Like, making the decision, like we were saying too, like, I just decided, I'm like, I'm going to do a podcast now. Like, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I'm just going to share these conversations because I have them with people. And I've just always enjoyed that aspect of things. But I had to look within myself compared to an external place of people telling me, like, oh, this is what you should do. These are the things that you should say, or these are the things that you should believe. But it's like, well, what if I don't want to believe those things?
Yeah.
What if my intrinsic insight, inner man, inner self, like soul, whatever word you want to use, is the one that's telling me to go down this path? So this is the path that I'm going to take, and I'm going to listen to my intuition, where a lot of people don't have that, I think, intrinsic value, but or even skill, but it is a skill that can be acquired through time and effort.
If you want to go far, listen to, or if you want to go quick, do the external factors. External factors like New Year's will get you to start fast. You're going to start on New Year's Day and you might go 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go far, do it intrinsically. Do it because you're tired of living the way that you were.
Yep.
I don't even know how I came up with that. I think I've heard that somewhere, but far. Yeah. If you want to go fast, listen to the external, because you're going to start fast. You're going to start when that external thing tells you to. If you want to go farther, do it internally, because internally, and if your why is bigger, like, you're going to outpace. You're going to go farther because your why is bigger, and you have, when motivation isn't there, your discipline is going to take you farther. Like, hey, come here. Like, discipline will take you farther than motivation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the whole, like, the man who enjoys walking more than the destination will go further than the one that likes the destination.
Because once you get to the destination, you're like, there is no, I don't know if there's an end goal in sight. But if you think about the end goal, once you reach there's no new heights for you to achieve. You're going to stop. You're going to remain stagnant. It's going to be incredibly hard for you to progress past that, because that was your goal. And maybe that's what it was for college football. Like, that was my goal. So it was hard for me to progress past that. Now, if I would have loved the actual football playing itself, then maybe I could have gone farther. So actually, I think that's another first real world experience that we just drew on right here. The reason maybe it stopped, partially the reason, was because I was tied to the goal itself, not the actual process.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't think that process was like really anything profound, because like it's like working out, right? Like me not playing football, like I just don't think it was for me. But I would have gone farther if I loved football, but that just wasn't who I was. So
yeah, there's a part of you that it was that at that point in time.
Yeah,
but then
for
as-
that time until I reached that goal, and then it was like, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. And I think like it, like again for like working out, right? You're like, oh, I want to get to 250 pounds. Once you get there, it's going to be hard to progress. I think for the football one, I think it's you're an okay, right? If you choose to play football or not play football, you're going to be okay. If you choose to work out or not work out, one reason, like, you're not going to be that okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, for me, it's always helped me mentally. It's helped me clear up ideas. It's helped me overcome my anxiety, depression, whatever it may be. Like,
yeah.
Insert whatever word that you want in there. But those are also, like, socially constructed in a sense. Like, obviously, there are people that do have imbalances within their brain.
Chemical imbalances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think a lot of people self-diagnose themselves with these issues because they don't want to face how the world is. They're just like, oh, I have this. It's like, well, do you really? Or are you just making this up?
I wish I had the context and the life experience to be able to comment on those, right? Like, I think the depression is an easy one. Like, people hear Andrew Tate talk about it and be like, depression is not real. I take that back. I don't wish that I had depression to be able to speak on it. I just don't feel like I have enough context to be able to speak on it, because I can't go into those shoes and be like, even though I'm not chemically imbalanced, I feel depressed. I can't tell you. Like, I think it's easy to be like, hey, like, I don't think you're depressed. Like, go work out. That's easy to say from an external. I feel like without the context and without having that personal, like, we're right here with you, like, I'm in your shoes now, I feel like it's hard for me to hint at that and be like, yeah, your depression's fake. Because I don't feel like that's fair to not have that context and be able to say that. I think it's like the chemical imbalances. That's a whole different story. Because like if you physically, your body has chemical imbalances, like bipolar and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not something that you can like will your way out of.
No. Like, those are things that you do physically need certain things to. It's just, I know in today's world, everybody's talking about that nowadays, where most of the time it's non-clinical compared to being clinical.
Like 90% it's non-clinical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but everybody, like, it's just like, we'll just give you this to make you feel better. And that's why, like, what I've always done is I'll just go exercise. Like, I'll go on a hike, I'll do yoga, I'll lift weights, I'll go for a run or a bike ride or whatever it is. And then afterwards I feel so much better.
Yeah.
And like, that's just something that I've come to realize, but it's just like, people, like, I was talking to this girl last night, and she's like, yeah, I want to get back to, like, how she looked when she was 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, what can you do to get to that? She's like, well, I just can't do it. I was like, well, you saying you can't clearly means that you can't do that thing. If you start to change that perspective and be like, well, I can do this, then you could start getting to there. But it's the whole, like, compartmentalizing thing. It's just like, people want to get to the top of the mountain, but they don't want to take that first step to be able to get up to that place.
Yeah. And it's daunting when you look at, like, when you look at a mountain in its state, right, like, whether that mountain's literally or figuratively, it's hard to progress and move forward when this giant goal that seems unattainable is staring you right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the conundrum comes from, is you want to move past this and reach this super high goal and this awesome goal, but it's damn hard when you're on it, when you're sitting in a Jeep facing this Mount Everest. So
yeah,
but I think, like, that's why there's a cost to play this game. There's a cost to get in fit. There's a cost to have great wealth, to be able to travel. Not everyone's going to do it, and that's the cost you have to do to play the game, is you have to be able to be like, well, hey, mountain, I see you. Hey, buddy, how you doing over there? Let's go. Like, mm-hmm. let's go. Like, come here. Like, we're going into deep water. I'm going to conquer you. That's the cost that it plays to achieve those things. And again, I think a big goal of mine is to be able to speak from firsthand experience.
Yep.
At this current place, I think I speak from a lot of third person external experience. I cannot wait until the day that where I'm like, oh yeah, I now am wealthy. I now travel whenever I want. I now am in the shape because I did those first steps, and it's going to be a lot more impactful. Because at this point in time, I feel like a lot of the ideas I have aren't going to be as impactful as I would hope they would, because it honestly makes a lot of sense. Like, dude, you're 18. You're not like, what are you like? What are you doing? When I get that firsthand experience and the words that I say have a lot more meaning because I've achieved those goals and it shows, That's what I can't wait for. That's where I'm like, yes. Like, it's easy for me to say, like, climb the mountain, but it's easy for a third party to be like, F you. Like, what have you done? Like,
mm-hmm.
Show me that you're doing this. I can't wait until that point where I'm like, yes, look at the testimonial that I have back here. Look at what I've done back here. Now listen to me. So, that's what gets me going, is, like, fired up. Like, hey, like, this is the cost to play the game. You have to take the first step on the mountain. And internally, I have no worries. I don't care externally about if someone's like, fuck you, like, you've done nothing. I know where I'm going, and that keeps me satiated. I can't wait where my words actually mean something, though, and where I have climbed this mountain, and it's like, look at what he did. He's saying that you have to climb this mountain. He did it. Like, and now I'm going to start it. Because right now, it's like, what have you done? Where are you going? Like, I'm not going to listen to you. And that makes a lot of sense. Like, please do that. That makes a ton of sense. Once I get this firsthand experience where I can speak on these things and have the verifiable testimonial proof that internally, that's what I can't wait for. That gets me fired up to be like, hey, like, you need to go conquer this mountain, and I've done it. Let me show you the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I look forward to.
Well, I feel like you need to have that third perspective, like that third point of view, because that's what I did when I first started making content myself as well, too. Like, it was more me talking to my future self.
Yeah.
But then, like, I can go back to those videos and be like, I'm doing that exact same thing now, even though it took me 2 or 3 years to get to that point.
Yeah, it's necessary at the time. Like, you have to have it, because without it, then you'd be stuck. Without it, when I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go to college, I would have just done what was easy and gone to go to college. If I didn't have that third party and that third person, like, context, and I take my advice as if I've done it and if I have firsthand experience, but I don't. And so if I didn't have the faith and the firsthand experience internally, then I wouldn't have been able to do that. And so you need that confidence and, like, that third party experience, I guess, is what you could say. And that testimonial internally, even though it's completely false, even though it's a complete and utter facade, you need it to be able to product and get to where it's actually verifiable proof.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's you having the faith in the unknown. It's like, I'm just going to trust that I know, like, intrinsically I know, because I've been able to do these other things. So I'll apply those other things that I have done before to this new thing that I'm doing, because I was able to complete this before. So who says that I can't complete this other thing? It's just the exact same thing, just in a different medium.
And you
can
draw on it, right? So, like, boom, I did this. I just got all A's without even studying for your final. Boom, I'm going to draw on this and give myself the confidence to go do this. Then, once this works out, I'm going to draw on the confidence to go do this. Then once this works out, I'm going to draw on the confidence to go do this. And at this point, I don't need any more confidence. I've reached my goal. Now I can help. Now I can extend exteriorly and help to get people to draw on these experiences. And when you have someone third partying and helping you, you don't have to draw on personal experience. You can draw on that. You can draw on a third party's experience to help you move up. So mm-hmm. I think that's probably a big goal of mine.
I like that. It's tough because I've struggled with that a little bit personally, because it's like, I've had all these people for years telling me, like, hey, you're going to be successful. Don't worry about it. Like, you're doing all the right things. And then I'm over here, like, it's been somewhat emotional lately, because it's just like, well, I don't have it yet.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, where is it?
100%. I'm so glad you hinted on that. Probably the worst thing I hate is talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It literally grinds my gears. Now, the love language thing, like, mine is, since the day I was born, it's like, normally you have like 40% here, 30% here, 20, like, you're pretty spread out across the 5 love languages.
Yep.
Mine is like 80% the verbal communication, or like the positive feedback one.
Yep.
So it's not to say that I don't like it and like to hear, like, oh, like, dude, you're doing real good, like, this is smart, like, yeah, like, for, especially from, like, internal family, like, oh, like, this is, like, what you're doing is awesome. I love that. But the thing that I hate most is the talking about it and not realizing that potential. Like, that was the biggest thing, is when I was thinking about going to college, it was like, oh, dude, like, you can go to college, take 4 years, and you're going to come back and be successful. And I was like, I literally cannot physically exist in this world talking about it and having potential. Potential is bullshit unless it's realized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you said that. It sucks, because you hear all these things, and without realizing it, like, you're so wound up. Like, oh my God, I have to go realize that. this potential, because literally the thing that I hate most is talking about it. I want to be that person that's about it. Like, let's not talk about it. Let's go be about it.
Exactly. Like, that's why I started the podcast, make the first phone call, yeah. like do the content, like do the outreaches, and then
be about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, dude, I mean, I've had friends and I love them to death, but they just talk about it. And yeah. I'm just like, and that's where you're talking about, like, there's certain things that you have to do in order to win this game. It's like, you have to let go of certain people. You have to remove aspects of your life or people and friends, acquaintances yeah. that you've known for years, because just like, they aren't growing with you. And if they aren't growing with you, they're just going to be dragging you yeah. down. So it's just like, I love you, dude, but it's also like, I kind of have to let you go.
What I do like is talking about it. And this is the thing, when you talk about it, at least for me, when I talk about something that maybe I haven't achieved yet, like fitness, like I'm not even close to where I want to be, me talking about it makes me, like, internally, like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to go talk about this and not be about it? Talking about something makes me go and do it. Like, talking about it, I literally, it's like this internal clashing of forces. I can't go talk about something and not be about it. So I do like talking about it, maybe a little. So maybe I don't hate it the most, because it makes me, it's like, I literally hate that. I hate it so much that I almost love it. I love talking about it because I hate it so much to not let it just be talk.
Yep, exactly. Because, so, yeah, because you got to talk about it to share the ideas, to get different perspectives from other people.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, at least that's how I've always looked at it. I'm like, let me go talk with this person, see if their ideas are resonating. If they have a similar idea, they're like, oh, this is good. Then it's like, all right, let me go test it out. I'll test it out. If it works, cool. If not, like, I'll pivot and I'll try something else. But it's just like, if I don't try it at all, it's just all thought. It's just all talk. And I've never liked that aspect of things.
And again, you don't know what this other side entails. You don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not go and figure it out? Like, let's go see what this is about. Like, hey, mountain, let's go. Let's go. Like, yep. I'm coming. Stop me.
I'm just going to start walking. Just take that first step. And that's why I like the 10X growth stage event that we went to, because it gave me that different perspective of, like, all I have to do is just get other people onto, like, my stages, or have other people, I go onto other people's stages, and then we all grow, because I've always played this game as, like, a single player game. Like, I'm big into video games, and, like, I've always looked at it as, like, okay, I'm going to be Mario, I'm just going to go out and do it on my own type of thing. But I've started to realize it's more of a multiplayer game. It's like, might as well help everybody else grow in the process and help them reach their goals. And I think Zig Ziglar, he talks about that, where it's just like, if you help enough people get what you want, you'll eventually get what you want type of thing. So I'm like, let me just help everybody else reach their goals. And if it works out for me, cool. If not, like, I at least enjoyed the journey. So, like, I can't complain about that.
And even on a subconscious level, when you do something for someone, they almost, and it sounds so manipulative, but when you do something positive for someone without expecting reward, they almost feel indebted to you. Which is like, if you do things with the intent of getting something back, it almost undermines it. And a lot of people, like, especially like energetic people, can pick up on that. Like, if you do something solely for the purpose of getting something back, they'll pick up on that, hopefully, and nip it in the butt. But if you do positive things literally for the sole intent of doing positive things, I like to think in this world that it's going to come back tenfold. So I think that's a good way of thinking about it. And, like, obviously, as a team, you're going to progress way further. Like, when it's a collaborative effort, you, like, let's say you have 100% of resources allocated, right, which is yourself. If you go and divide that across 10 people, your resources allocated mutually will exponentially grow. So I think as a solo player, like, it's possible, like lone wolf, like, let's go do this. Let's go grind monk mode. That's possible, but, like, you're not going to get nearly as far in terms of a collaborative effort. Like, collaboratively, you're going to progress way farther.
Well, yeah, well, like, it's just the whole, we could look at Andrew Tate. Like, the reason he blew up so much was because he was having everybody else do all the selling for him. Yeah,
which,
exactly.
By the way, was one of, like, after I knew, like, oh, my God, I was like, holy shit, this guy's a fucking genius. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me? This guy made a course and was like, hey, I'll give you $25 for every person that you sell. Go push this everywhere. And now people, like, I've even seen, like, other influencers are, like, paying for people to repost TikTok videos and not funnel them to a course, because that's a little burnout. But, like, TikTok accounts, right? So, like, if you make a TikTok account of a celebrity, they'll pay, like, $15 for 100,000 views on top of TikTok's RPM, which is, like, 1,000 per million views, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's genius marketing. Like, even though you directly, right, let's say 100,000 people view your content, even though you directly from that won't profit, like, you won't see a return on investment for that, getting 100,000 impressions is ridiculous. Like, some point or another, it's going to directly come back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that with YouTube content with the anime stuff that I was doing, which you were still. I still thought that was funny how you thought that that was a niche, and I was like, yeah dude, like it's. I mean, it's not making me money. It's still kind of like a passion project a little bit, but there are some people, like, I have gotten some donations from that, which is like really cool to see. But like when I also look back, and it's just like creating content and like getting the impressions. Like as long as people are seeing it, it's like, okay, how do I turn those impressions into clicks? How do I turn those clicks into profit type of thing? And it's something that I've struggled with, because it's just like, why would somebody pay for something that like I'm doing, when it just comes second nature to me? It's just like, where is that skill and that value? But then I have to remind myself that not everybody thinks in the ways that we think. Some people aren't wanting to like build businesses, they aren't wanting to do podcasts, and they aren't wanting to go to that next level. They're happy just like going home, watching TV, and like just living a normal-ish life type of thing. And that's why, like, when you were talking about like how that 50-year-olds, like, they're still like intrinsically like a 20-year-old type of thing. It's because most likely what they're doing is they wake up, they go to work, they come home, they watch TV, they drink beer, and they go to bed. Like, there's no growth. There's no learning.
And I even want to put an asterisk on that, because I think it's so easy, right? Because, like, as this thing progresses, and as, like, we move, like, when I first started out, it's easy to be, like, red pill Andrew Tate. Like, oh, everyone who works a 9-to-5, you're a bum. I want to put an asterisk there and say, like, the 9-to-5, like, it is actually awesome if that's what you want. I think it's more about what you want, because if you like truly, some people don't want a lot, like, and that's almost like, it almost blows my mind, is so cool, like, to be able to exist on this plane and just be content is awesome. Like, imagine living like that, like, no worries. Like, hey dude, I go out and I mow lawns for 8 hours, and then I just come home and chill, and like I like live life. That's kind of awesome, because like, there's nothing else that you really have to get. And so you're never forced under anything. Like, you really just, you are who you are. And I think it's incredibly profound. And that's the asterisk I want to put on it. Now, if you know and you actually truly want more, but you refuse to do it because of a lack and because you're scared, that's when the conundrum hits and it's hard. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But if like you actually truly are okay and content, and like deep down in your heart of hearts, like, the only people that know are yourself. If you're cool with that, like, that's honestly awesome. Like, I not even to sound like a prick, but I almost envy you. Like, that honestly is almost cooler, because you're content on like with what you have, and that's so cool. And that's why, like, I maybe briefly hinted at, maybe I didn't, I later in life, like, one of my goals is go travel and go on like psychedelic experiences, because I want to come up on that, because like, it's so hard. Like, I live in like, I'm like dragged, right? Like, I want to be this, like, but I'm not right now. I want to be able to get to that point where you're like just cool where you are, like. And I think if you're not that internally, maybe you have to take those psychedelic experiences.
Yeah, which I enjoy it. So, like, I've taken a couple of psychedelics myself. And I love it, dude. Like, I took acid during COVID, and that taught me a lot about, like, that there's going to be people out there that are going to try and sabotage me, that don't like me, because they just, one, they internally haven't dealt with their some scars, their past traumas, their past experiences, which I've run into a couple of people like that, because then when I talk with other people when I was on the exact same trip, they're like, no, dude, you're chill. Like, you're doing the right things. So I was like, well, I appreciate
misery
that.
Misery loves company. Like, they're going to try and bring you into that.
And taking psychedelics too, like, it'll open up, it's at least opened my mind to seeing the world in a completely different way than I ever thought possible. I was like, this is crazy that like these things exist, and it's all up in here type of thing. So it's like, well, if that's up in here, then isn't everything up here type
and
of thing?
The idea that I love to contemplate is like, so like, again, I've never taken psychedelics, but when my frontal lobe is fully, like, that's what I'm doing. Like, that is set in stone. When my frontal lobe is fully developed, I'm taking psychedelics. What I think is cool is like, everything that you experience is literally projected internally, so that means that it's there. That means that this is part of you, and like, you get to experience that on a tenfold level. Like, I cannot wait to get those projections internally. Like,
I do like how you're doing it more like waiting for your frontal lobe to be fully developed instead of jumping into it.
Because I feel like, at least from what I've read, is like, if you have a really negative, profound experience, it can harm you in a really negative way, because your frontal lobe isn't formed, and so you pick up on like, you have a negative experience, and that affects you. That stays in you. And because you, and honestly, I think I'm going to reset the idea, not even frontal lobe, but until I'm set in stone of who I am and what I am. So I think that's the biggest thing. Is at this point, I'm still like mesh, right? Like, I'm still easily moldable. I'm still finding out who I am. And so if I had a negative experience with psychedelics, it could hinder who I am and rock that internal, like, who I am. When I'm set in stone of who I am, what I am, what I do, and, like, this is me, like I'm here.
Yep.
Once I'm at that point, whether that's my frontal lobe chemically is fully developed or not, once I feel comfortable in that and I'm like, this is who I am, this is what I do, like, come here, like, this is who I am.
So
that's when I'll take psychedelics.
I can challenge you on that if you want.
Yeah.
So what if taking the psychedelics is the thing that you need to help you get to that? Like, that's the thing that's going to shift your perspective in the ways that you need to. Because I was the same way. Like, I did I want to make sure that I'm solid in my beliefs and who I am as a person before I take them, because I didn't want to have, like, psychosis or all these like crazy things that I hear online happen to me.
So I like that. I like the challenging of ideas. What I would counter with, though, is in terms of, like, again, expected value.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the psychedelics is that step, right? That's what makes me confront and cement it in myself. Maybe it's not, and maybe that's the thing that leads me down to a dark path, is like again, I'm still, like, moldable and I'm not confident and cemented, and mm-hmm. that's what tailwinds me. So again, expected value. I stand to gain, like, I think I'll still reach that point without psychedelics. Maybe it'll take me longer than if I did psychedelics. But if I did psychedelics and it goes wrong before I'm cemented in who I am, I'd stand to lose, like, a shit ton. So I think that's where I'll rest it. It's like, I think that's honestly, that's probably what the answer is. It's like, it is like, oh no, psychedelics is the last part. But I think I have to remove that idea because of what I stand to lose.
Yep. No, and I think you're doing it the right way. I did the exact same way, because, like, when I was in college too, I was smoking a lot of weed, and the weed helped me a lot to, like, come to this new profound, like, way of thinking that I never originally had beforehand. But my frontal lobe wasn't completely developed, but I didn't want to do any psychedelics.
But in your mind, you're fully developed. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I was saying. Like, initially what I said was, like, frontal lobe. I don't think so. Cause, like, the scientifics, like, you can tell me that my frontal lobe's not fully developed, but if I know who I am, then it's fully developed. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. I'm fully developed.
Yeah. Which, do you have an idea of when you'll know who you fully are?
I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, once I know, I know. Cause like, not even that I've had, like, a crazy ego death or anything like that, but I did, like, I took Kiefer, that, like, mixed,
I've heard the word. I can't think of what it is mixed together, but I know what you're talking about.
So it's like, I think it's literally just like infused THC into, like, it's like kefir, maybe, whatever.
Kefir. Yeah.
I took like 10 milligrams of that, and it was incredibly profound. Like, not psychedelics, because I didn't leave, like, the plane that I was on, but I basically, like, initially my world started spinning. And so I was sitting here, and the center was like, the radius was here, or the thing that it revolves around was right here, like projected 4 feet out, and the entire world was spinning, and I was like freaking out, because like, I'm not an anxious person by nature, but I do get anxious, so I was freaking the fuck out. And then 15-30 minutes of that, and then I progressed this wild state. I had a red, and again, this isn't psychedelics, because like, this world was still here and I could see it. This was an overlay. And it was a red soldier and a green soldier, and they were fighting. They were holding one tug of war like a chain and one more with a sword. And they were fighting, and it was, like, in my mind, it was good or bad. So the red was bad and the green was good. And the red was winning, but I could directly influence the battle. And if I let the red win, right, like, you're like, hey, I'm cool if the bad takes over. Like, let's see what happens. That actually let the good win, because the red had no more power, because the red's whole thing was like, I want to overtake you. And it was like, cool, come and try. That let the green win. And so I did that. I was going like in and out of black. So like, this world was like here, like everything that I could see. And then I would zoom out, like, as all of it got black, and I was so incredibly scared. And then finally I was like, fuck it. What if I just let all this go? Like, all of it. And I was like, and it wasn't all like one time where I just flipped back into consciousness. But after that, I went like, I was like fully cerebral. I was like ripping chains off. I was like, like, it was fucking crazy. And so I did a little bit, maybe ego death there. And then like, I was at the office. It was the weirdest thing. It wasn't allergies. It wasn't anxiety, but I just couldn't breathe. Like, I like was like losing like my breath in a sense. I've never had asthma, anything like that. It one time asthma locked up in practice, but this wasn't it. And I walked in the bathroom, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is so weird. I was like, fuck it. I'm like, if there's one place I'm going to die, let's just have it be here. Whatever. I live with the result. And that's such a crazy idea with me, like, me as a person, death is the scariest thing because I have so much potential that's unrealized. So this idea is like crazy. Like this was groundbreaking for me to be okay with dying. And then within 5 minutes it eased up. So like maybe I've progressed on that thing of ego death, and I feel like it's going to be one of those things where once I know, I know. Because I know like I've moved past all that. I'm cool with dying. Like I feel like when it's a, I feel like if I put a goal on it, it's going to be false. I feel like it's just going to have to be one of those things where if I know, I know.
Yep. I'd have to agree with you on there because it's true. Like I just know that this is a thing that I need to be doing. But like up until this point, like I had no idea.
And you can't put a list of things on there, right? Like you can't write it down because it's not, that doesn't work. Like you just know. Like,
mm-hmm.
When you know, you know. When, again, I hate to hint on it because it seems insignificant in the like the realm of life. But like when I knew that I wasn't going to play college football, I literally know. And like I said, I think I said it earlier. There's not a lot of things that I'm like that with. But that like there's been a couple times where, dude, I know. I know.
Yep.
Like there's not a lot of things that are going to shake that.
And I wouldn't consider that an insignificance at all. Like,
yeah.
Because it is very, like, it was a significant event for you in your life to help you know that, like, hey, this is the new path that I want to go down.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't look at it that way at all. And I was curious, too, like, when you said you have a lot of unrealized potential, like, how are you going to be amounting to the unrealized potential?
I don't think I know quite yet. I think just internally, just how I am, I'm my biggest competitor, biggest critique. That's what, like, that's who I am. Like, my internal monologue is crazy. It's always, like, not, like, bad, but, like, it's, oh, we're always, like, that's who I am. Like, I'm just always going to try and do something great. So this unrealized potential, that's where I, like, death is the hardest thing for me to compartmentalize, is that unrealized potential. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that entails. Maybe that's the wealth. Maybe that's freedom. Maybe that's family. Maybe that's something I don't even know yet, but I know that it's there. And that's why I think death is the hardest thing for me, is like, especially when I was in like sixth grade, maybe like 12 to 14, I would think about death like 8 times a day. Like, and it was like almost crippling, like, because like internally, I know I have so much that I still have to do, that's where it comes from. And yeah, I mean, that's where I think the hardest part. So like that ego death was like fucking crazy for me, because I've never even thought about being okay with it. And I think that the unrealized potential comes internally, like that. I don't even know what it is, but I know that it's there, and I know that it comes from this critique that I have.
Mm-hmm. And I did like the whole ego death thing, because like we do have to kill ourselves in a sense to be able to get to that next place, because otherwise we're just gonna be stagnant this entire time.
Yeah, and I mean, the ego death, I say with hesitancy, because I feel like ego is still there. And even for me, like, my ego is crazy, like, and I am good enough at it to like recognize that from third party, and I don't feel like it's completely dead yet, and I don't even know if it ever will be. But I think that's what it was, is like the first step on a multi-long journey that's going to be including psychedelics, life experience, for me to become who I am. And that was initiated by this like start of ego death. And so that, like, even though it's going to be miserable and like it's going to be bad, I can't wait.
Dude.
Like, even though it was like fucking terrifying, and like as your world's spinning, you're watching these two figures fight over your world, and you're like, well, I'm going to die. I cannot wait to go in even deeper, like deep waters. Can't wait.
It's exciting, because like as you go deeper, the more, at least from what I've come to see, is like the more you realize you don't know. Like deeper we go, it's like, oh wow, this exists over here?
100%. And I think like, dude, it's that same thing. When I came out and I'm like, oh dude, business is easy. This comes second nature to me. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to book appointments. I'm going to get people to sign me up for web design. I'm going to upsell them like crazy. I'm just going to do this. It's like the tip of the iceberg. You see it and you're like, oh, this is cake. And then you're like, accounting. What the fuck is, I have to account and have business accounts. How do I form an LLC? How do I submit a 1099, or not a 1099, a W-9?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. You get into deep waters in every aspect of life, and it's like you think it's one thing, and then you enter it and you start it and you're like, holy shit, this is not what I believed at all.
Right. And it kind of ties back to like, you could do it all yourself 100% of the way, or you could have other people that do it for you that are more specialized in said areas.
100%. It's collaboratory, because like you can't like physically, like at this level, sure I can. Like I use QuickBooks. I can do a Stripe invoice. I can submit a W-9 because my dad helps me. Mm-hmm. That's cool. At a scale, like, there's literally just not enough time in the day for one person to be doing everything. And that is literally just for one aspect, and that's helping a business. Imagine if that person has to live too. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if that person has to spend time with their family. Like, that's why you'll never reach the point where you want to singularly, because it's literally not possible. There's not enough time in your day to rest and come back and be productive. At this level, sure, I can make it work. At scale, no chance.
No.
Like, it just doesn't work.
That's where leverage comes into play.
Yeah.
That's
high, yeah. High leverageable skills, which is, I think. That's why I'm going back and getting my associate's degree on the path to getting a master's in computer science, because I think that's high leverageable skills. Like, the things I do now, they're actually, like, not a lot of people know them. And that's why I think they're marketable, and I really, like, want to take this farther. But those computer science things and, like, proprietary programs that are developed on the business side, that's, like, 0.001% of people know how to do it. That's way more leverageable, high leverage skills.
Yep. I mean, that's why I did sales, because it's a high leverage skill.
High leverage skill. Not a lot of people know it. And the better you get at it, the more, like, after college, high school, whatever, everything you do in one way or another, at least I like to believe, is directly correlated to monetary compensation one way or another.
Yep.
So, like, hopefully, I like to live it. Whatever I do today, maybe I realize it in a year, maybe I realize it in 10, maybe I never realize it. Hopefully, it's directly correlated to monetary compensation later down the line. So why not pick up on everything?
Exactly. And that's why, like, I was, like, I respect the hell out of you, dude, for starting out and doing these things on your own at 18, because I was right there with you as well, too. Like, when I first found out about this world, like, I was like, this is incredible. Like, how does everybody needs to know about this? And I would always be pushing, like, push, like, you need to do this, you need to do this. And it's just like, people don't like that shit.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to live their own life. They're going to do their own thing. Yeah. Like, I'll make my decisions that are best for me. And if you guys want help, or if you have questions, like,
it's hard. And that's where I think that's, like, a super hard idea for me to get by, is, like, you see all these things, and let's not even say it's coaching. Let's say it's, like, I don't know, a family thing. You see all this and you're like, hey, I want to figure out a way to solve this. Like, hey, let's do this. Not a lot of people are set in their ways. I think it's called connotative dissonance, and they pertain it to politics. But so, like, let's say an idea you have that you've had formulated for 5 years, if I came and had undeniable proof that it was wrong, your brain, like, because of how we're wired, it will tell you that you, like, will make up anything. Mm-hmm. Your brain can, like, control your reality. So even though I come with undeniable proof that you're wrong in whatever idea that is, you won't move past it. And so, like, that's the hardest part, is, like, you're like, oh, like, guys, this makes so much sense. Like, come on, like, let's move past this. Not a lot of people can, like, because we're not wired to do that, and because it takes a skill to be able to change ideas,
mm-hmm.
not a lot of people are capable of progressing past that.
Well, that's why it's not so much, from what I've come to see, it's not so much telling people what to do, it's more asking them questions so that they come to the realization themselves.
Yeah, because it's not possible. Like, I take that back. Like, for some people who are intentional about it, it's possible you can formulate new ideas. But conventionally, it is the hardest thing to move past someone's, like, natural born wiring
mm-hmm.
and, like, 5 years of conditioning to move past that and progress past that.
It's not easy to do. Yeah. That's why people are, like, go to therapy or have coaches for years sometimes, because it's breaking that conditioning down is almost next to impossible sometimes.
Yeah.
Which it can be done, but it's also like, how badly do you want it? How badly do you want to fix that thing? And if you don't want to fix this thing, that then like, it's never going to get fixed type of thing.
And a lot of people, I mean, I think live in I can't find the word that I'm trying to pick up on there, but, like, I think a lot of things in a lot of people's life are at a point where it's, like, not bad enough to get it fixed, but not enjoyable.
And that's what I was talking to the girl in the hot tub last night, too. She's like, yeah, when all these things have changed. And I was like, so why don't you?
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's not at a point to inspire change, but it's at a point where it's not great. Like, it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in a lot of different aspects live in that space.
Yeah, you're just sitting on the fence. It's just like, I could change. Like, I mean, anybody can change, but it's just like, you have to be at that breaking point almost, to where it's like, all right, I'm done doing this thing. I need to change my life because I don't like where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Like, I had to leave. So, like, I was living at home after COVID, and I was like, I'm tired of living at home. I want to get back on my own. So that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to go down the sales route, because, like, I know that I can succeed at this. It wasn't the thing that I really, like, wanted to do, but it's just like, I'm good at it. So, like, might as well use the skills that I'm good at to, like, help me get to that next place.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it's just crazy to think how everybody is living their own individual life. And if we're thinking the thoughts that we think within our own head, it's just like, why not think the things that we want to think to have the reality that we want to have? But it is a matter of breaking the beliefs, because if the beliefs that our parents or our family or friends have always told us, those are going to be the beliefs that we have in our head.
Yeah.
So it's, how do we break those beliefs? And I think it comes down to like listening to things like this, having conversations with other people that are in that same like ecosystem or growth phase compared to people that aren't in that phase. Because if people are in the phase where it's just like, I'm happy just doing like mowing the lawn, for example. Like if that's that person that you're talking to and you love that life, then cool. Like keep talking to that person. If that's not where you want to be, then maybe step out and go somewhere else. And people might be like, well, I can't, but it's like, well, why can't you?
Yeah.
What's your reasoning for not wanting to be able to? It's because you're comfortable where you are right now. So you don't truly want to change.
And comfortable enough, right? Like you're not discomforted enough. Like even though you're not where it ideally is, you're not comfortable. You're not discomfortable enough. Like it's not, like it's not excruciating, so like you're not motivated enough. And yeah, I think with that, I think it's called Sonder, is the word, but it's the idea that like imagine all the ideas and the free flowing and the realities that internally we have, the talks we have, the ideas we have of ourselves. Now imagine that every single person around you has that, and like that literally just blows my mind. And then even like attempting on the long road of trying to move someone in a direction, like, whoo, that's a daunting task.
Yeah, it is a daunting task, but it's also a task that I've wanted to take on. I don't know where.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like, I know that I was able to change because I was in a very like low place. Like I was lost. Like I had no idea what I was doing, but I was like, if I just take this path or I try reading this book or try having this conversation, let's see where it goes. And I'll make the adjustments from there. And it's just been, it's been such a cool experience, man. That's why I'm like happy and hopeful to see where like your whole thing is going to go, because I have a feeling that things are just going to be like accelerating in ways that you never expected. I could see that happening. Like if you're already doing this and these are the thoughts that you have, because I remember when we were talking the first time when we went and got lunch, I brought up like the whole thing of like kids your age that like are just getting out of high school or middle of high school, just graduating. I'm like, do they have any skills? Like do they have any like information? Yeah. You're like, no, none of them
do. It's bad. And like you, like again, I think it's so easy to be like, hey, like I'm gonna drop ship. It's so easy. But like what you don't pick up on until you've actually like been submersed in that world is like the market, and the market is the world, directly rewards you for the skills that you can provide. And like that is such an idea. So yeah, I think like now that I've realized that idea and seen it in firsthand, that's what I'm trying to do. Pick up on everything. Like that's why I'm going back to college, and then every idea that I have and that I think I want to explore, cool, I'm going to take some time and go explore it. So
yeah, dude, I think that's awesome. If we want to call it here, I think we did what, like hour and a half, 2 hours?
Oh,
we did an hour actually. So I mean, if we got some other things that you want to talk about, but like
no,
I'm pretty good right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot more ideas that I've left unsaid. So
yeah, dude, I'm happy to see where things are gonna go for you, man.
Yeah,
like I'm excited.
Thanks,
to
man.
See this whole,
you
whole process
well, dude.
For
this
you.
Is fucking sick.
We'll have to do another one sometimes too, and if people want to check you out or if you have anything going on, like for people that do make it to that episode, like what do you want to tell
so
them?
So all my socials, the like THE Logan Gentry, LOGANGENTRY. My website is coloradogrowth.com. Yeah, I mean that's the only ways to reach me. If you want to send a DM on the socials and see if we can work together, that's where you can reach
me. Yeah, and I'll link all that stuff down below as well too. So dude, it's always a pleasure having
awesome.
You on, man.
Thanks, man.
Love it. So I appreciate you making it to the end of the episode. Comment poker down below in the comments to make sure that I know that you made it to the end. Otherwise, you can check out another one of the episodes right here, and I hope to see you guys in future episodes. Thanks for watching.